Swiss Abram Chaim ben Brindel, if we shalema. One of the things that Reb Chaim Volozhin advanced is that it's commonly known that the Torah HaKadosh is the Mekor HaChokhmah, which basically means is that the Torah is linked to the source of all wisdom. So it's not just the Chokhmah HaTorah, the Torah itself, but the Torah is the all-encompassing. So the Torah really is the source of all wisdoms, of all Chokhmahs. Chaim used to explain that the decisions of those who basically who immerse themselves in Torah, so may they can be fully relied upon if someone goes and seeks their advice. And it might be sometimes even situations where they don't necessarily have expertise in a particular area, but the fact is that their mind is totally filtered through Limud HaTorah, so Mela, that basically shapes their knowledge and shapes their Siyata Dishmaya to be able to offer proper advice. And he pointed out that this is so that even many times, he says, a real Adam Godel we're talking about may sometimes not even offer any real reason for his conclusions, and maybe he's not even able sometimes to really articulate, he says, the reasoning. But the mental process, he says, of great Talmid Chachamim, which are shaped by Torah, are ever trustworthy. It has been said that Reb Chaim used to advise his Talmidim in general to avoid ever rendering advice or making an important decision, would first go learn a couple of minutes. Because by learning a couple of minutes of Torah, so now whatever decision you're going to be making is going to be on the background and on the backdrop of Torah, which is in your mind. And would say that the subject matter of Torah may be totally unrelated to whatever decision you want to make. But the mere fact that you're going to be learning, and now you're going to decide with a mind which is a Torah mind, you're going to make up a particular decision, it'll come from a mind again which has the foundation which Torah behind it. And as he said, because when a person first involves himself, he says, in Torah, so he ensures that his thoughts at that moment come from the wellsprings of all wisdom, and that is from Torah. Chaim for himself, it used to be said, he would not only look into a Gemara prior to giving advice, but the Maisa, he said, the fact is that he actually remained fully involved in Torah even when someone would ask him advice. Chaim had a tremendous mind, which meant he was able to think about many things at the same time. It is said about a number of Gedolei Yisrael also had that ability. They say like they had two minds in their head, which would be able to actually talk about two different subjects, immediately talking about one thing, and not losing the train of thought in that area, be able to switch instantaneously, speak to somebody else at the same time about something else, and then go back to what they were talking about before. It was said, for example, about Reb Chaim Leuzer in Vilna, that he was able to write two tshuvas, right hand and the left hand. I don't know, he was a righty or a lefty, or he was ambidextrous, but Lamaise said he was able to write two tshuvas at the same time, because his mind was able to concentrate and basically be split into two separate areas. That, of course, is an uncanny ability to say the same thing about the Sasemis as well. A Talmud of Volozhin is said once looked through the peephole of the door when the count of Volozhin, he was actually the one who owned the Talmud of Volozhin and the environs around it, his name was Count Joseph Tishkovitz, that was the name. He was the one who actually owned the Talmud of Volozhin, and he was a Polish nobleman. And he came on one of his frequent visits. He would come to speak to Reb Chaim and ask advice on a particular situation. That particular day, the count was particularly agitated. Some it appeared that he had a very particular serious problem. And he poured forth his problem to Reb Chaim. And the Talmud said, as he was looking through the people, and he said that even though Reb Chaim was actually looking at the count as the count was speaking to him, but nevertheless, a close look at the face of Reb Chaim suggested that his thoughts were someplace else. Sometimes a person can be looking at you, but you can tell that his mind is elsewhere. And when the count finished recounting his problem, Reb Chaim called for a student. He said, you know, bring me a Gemara now. And when he proceeded to study for some time, then he gave the advice to the count. And this is the way it would be. And there's mentioned that he would have the ability to actually to listen to someone, and at the same time, as a matter of fact, even to speak to someone, and his mind would continue to probe some particular halachic problem that he was busy with. And one would say that as he listened to someone speaking to him, you see his fingers would like incessantly play on the buttons of his jacket, so to speak, apparently to the rhythm of his thoughts. So you can see that here he was focusing or paying attention, of course, to the person speaking to him, and yet at the same time, was able to think about various halachic topics, and I might say he used that koyach in able to give proper advice and better advice. Another situation very interesting about Reb Chaim is that he always used to stress the value that a person should have a shir at night, whether it's an hour or two or three, whatever situation. And he says that the fact that a person commits himself to learning every night, he said it's a kapar, he says, even for the most serious of Averis. That's what Reb Chaim used to say. Reb Chaim always, as he runs through in the Nefesh HaChaim and Ruach Chaim, always there's nothing greater than Torah. And Mamela, he says, the truth is, if a person who is committed every night, he's committed to Torah, so that Limud HaTorah is able, he says, to atone, he says, even for the most serious of Averis. So to prove his point, Reb Chaim used to tell a story that took place in Vilna, and when he was in Vilna, when Reb Chaim was still in Vilna, Reb Chaim Volozhin, he said that there was a dibuk. A dibuk is a spirit, right, that enters the soul, the body of a particular person, and causes quite a bit of trouble. And you have to have very, very special, great people, either Baal Mekubalim, you know, who are able to drive out a dibuk that basically decides to find refuge because he's afraid of the Malachi Chabol and Shemaim that are after that neshama. The neshama, therefore, can only feel safe if it goes into a body, into a strange body, because the external forces don't have Shlita, don't have rishus to affect and go into another living person. So if the neshama happens to hide into a living person, for that moment he's safe. But however, it causes a lot of distress and a lot of trouble to the person who is now becoming the achsanya of that particular dibuk. Rabbi Chonan Wasserman used to relate a story every Purim regarding a mice of a dibuk that the Chofetz Chaim drove out. And this is something that year after year he repeats to say the godless, the greatest, the Chofetz Chaim, and also listening and hearing actually the dibuk speak and talk about his past life when he was still alive before he had passed away. So here's the thing that Reb Chaim Volozhin himself, he spoke about a situation that took place in Vilna when Neshama entered, he says, the body of a young tailor and causing him to run about shouting and barking. That's what really happens. That the person really loses control of himself. The fact that this strange Neshama entered his body. So this person, this tailor, happened to be a tailor and was causing him to run about shouting and barking all over the place. So a rov was called, apparently someone who had some knowledge in these areas, and a most amazing conversation ensued between the tailor and the spirit that was entrapped in the body, which was that the neshama happened to be a departed well-known malamed, a teacher in the community. In his previous life he was a teacher, was a malamed in the community. And the neshama claimed, he says, that he returned to this world. He returned to this world, he says, in order, he needs the aid of this young tailor to help him out and to repay a certain debt. In other words, he owed money to someone. Reb Chaim, by the way, there's many, many stories about Reb Chaim where he talks about how it's important that a person really settles his debts before he leaves this world. Or make sure that instructions are given, that first all the chayvas are paid out. Because the neshama will not find rest in the next world if he really owes money to anybody. And sometimes for the sake of one pruta that he may owe, sometimes the neshama will have to come down again to be Megugel, right, and the whole idea of reincarnation, partially being misakin that one pruta. Anyway, so this was the maisa that this neshama says. The reason he's coming down, because he enlists, he says, I want you to help me. He says, I came to you, I want you to help me in order to take care of a certain debt that I owed. And the neshama claimed that it was that debt was the only thing preventing his entrancing at Eden. And therefore, being that it's that debt, so if I have no choice, I came here and I am trapped in your body. I made sure to see to it that you pay my debt and then I leave. So the tailor really was very puzzled. Why? Because he knew this teacher, he knew this malamed, he happened to know this malamed, and he happened to know that this malamed was guilty of a very serious avera in his lifetime. And therefore he couldn't understand How is it? And he asked the spirit, he asked the neshama, how is it that the only problem that you have is regarding paying a certain debt that you owe? What about the punishment regarding that very serious avera that I happen to know about? We all know, we both know about it. So the neshama replied, no. The only avera now that's held against him is the ben odom l'chaveroi, in order to repay the debt. All the others, said the spirit, have been pardoned completely due to the schedule of learning a couple of hours nightly, which he was always careful to maintain. So Reb Chaim used that to prove the point that a person is committed to having a shir of Torah every night. One can feel, at least, and hope that this will stand by in good stead for him in the next world and take care of even some very serious averis. It says if we don't continue to do those averis. That was one of the things that Reb Chaim pointed out. And one more thing before we move on here, just one small thing. Talmidim Reb Chaim was to relate that Reb Chaim, means from as long as he could remember, he made sure never to miss a minyan. There are people like that even today also very, very careful about not missing a minyan. But Reb Chaim Lemaise, he said, Miyoyim Omdoy Al Datoy, since you'll never remember, he never done without a minyan. It turns out Reb Chaim was once on his various travels. He came to a particular inn, and there was no minyan in that particular area where the stop station, the rest stop was. And so what did he do? He hired a couple of wagons to go to nearby areas and try to bring in Yidden, and whatever it is, to pay them to come, in order to gather together to make sure that he has a minyan. That, to that extent, Reb Chaim would go, he would not rely on Yidden, that it's annoyance, it's an accident, he had no choice. Reb Chaim was very, very particular regarding a minyan, and would go the extra mile to make sure that he has a minyan. And Reb Chaim was not just for himself, but he would also very strongly encourage others also to be very careful davening with Philip and Sieber, and explained it. He explained, I'm not talking so much, he said, about the great mitzvah of it, but it's for your own benefit. Because if you daven b'yichidus, if you daven alone, he says, then on your own, when you're on your own, then your davening has to be with a very strong kavanah. Because they're very particular in Shemayim, when a person davens and he asks, right, basically he's on his own, they open up the file and they basically begin to check the person to find out and to see, is he worthy, is he not worthy. They try to find out and look at the quality of his tefillah. If you daven b'yichidus, you have to make sure you daven, you give a Kodesh Baruch Hu a tefillah of the highest quality. You have to daven be'emo or be'yiro with Mesiras Nefesh and so on. And that kind of a tefillah, he says, is an unusual bizmanenu that a person really reaches the really proper level of kavana that you would need if you'd be on your own. On the other hand, the koyach of tefillah b'tzibur is that even if it's not a perfect tefillah, even though it is maybe deficient in certain areas, in Shemayim they're not medagdik, because you're not an individual. In a minyan, it's an entity of a minyan, and therefore it all goes up together. The Gemara actually says, Eloshin hein kel kabir layimos, says the Gemara, the koyach of tefillah b'tzibur. So, Reb Chaim used to say that if a person, in fact, if he makes a commitment, always to daven with a minyan, invariably, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him Sevata Dishmaya that he should be able to find a minyan, no matter the situation. If you're committed to a minyan, if this is your lifestyle, so even in situations where it might be rare to find a minyan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you give Sevata Dishmaya to have a minyan. And he related himself. He said also one of his travels is to Vilna. He stopped at a certain achsanya, at a certain particular hotel, and it was Maariv time, and he asked the hotel keeper, he says, is there any hope that there might be a minyan coming together? Not because they're coming to daven, but coming to the hotel to get more customers, maybe we'll get together, maybe 10 yidden. And the hotel keeper said, I'll tell you the truth, I'm here for many years, at this time of night, rarely that I have 10 people, 10 yidden, coming together that we should be able to have a minyan. I'm not going to have. So Reb Chaim nevertheless said, I'm going to wait. Instead of davening b'yichidus or that, I'm going to wait and see what happens. And it turns out that clearly, that as he continued to wait, it turned out that very unusual thing, that passers-by, which normally this time of night would not go, it turns out that they happened to come and they stopped over here. They stopped over here, and Reb Chaim says, it seems that when we say in Ashrei, Ritzoyin Yirei of Yaseh, because Baruch Hu fulfills the Rosson of those who fear him, and being that if you are committed to a minyan, that's what you want, so because Baruch Hu will see to it that you should be able to fulfill, and there's many mises like that, where started the Shemaya, the last minute we happen to find out that you have a minyan, if you're committed in fact to that thing. So this is another Hanhoge of Reb Chaim. So we go here to the Ruach Chaim. It's in your edition is Daf Lamed Aleph. We're still in Perek Aleph Mishnah Beis in the Ruach HaKodesh. This is shir number 18, by the way. It's the paragraph, the second paragraph of Evihine Ato. It's Daf Lamed Aleph. So Reb Chaim says that Evihine Ato Bavoy Nisenu Harabim. In other words, because Reb Chaim is talking about, the Mishnah is talking about Ashloisha Dvor Moila Moimed. The world stands on three things, on Torah and Avodah and Gemilas Chasodim. Torah, okay, you could have yeshivas, you could have Limud HaTorah today. Avodah mainly, in the main, meant the Avodah of the Korbonos, which meant we have a Mizbeach, we have a Beis HaMikdash. Unfortunately, today we don't have the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash, the Korbonos, but what do we have? He says, that we don't have the Avodah of Korbonos. What is our Avodah? So our Avodah today, Avodah Seinu, Hirakat Tfilah. It's Tfilah which is B'mokim Zevach U'mincha. Is a tefillah that's in the place of a zevach, of a korban, or a meal offering, which is a mincha. Now we have tefillah. But don't underestimate the fact. Don't think like tefillah is just like, sort of like a substitute. So it's like a secondary thing. So although we don't really have korbanos, but instead we have tefillah, but recognize that v'hadvorim oimdim berumoy shaloylom. But tefillah, basically, you understand what the role of tefillah. Tefillah is Devarim Oimdim Berumah Shel Olam. It stands at the highest point of the world. It stands at the pinnacle of the world, on top of the world. In other words, tefillah is of supreme importance. What Reb Chaim is saying, it doesn't always quote to the source, but the Beferish Gemara in Brachos, Tav Hei Omed Beis, the Pasuk in Tehillim, Kirum Zulis Libnei Yodom, Devarim Oimdim Berumah Shel Olam, and people are Mezalzel. People basically, they downplay it, and they're even sometimes they're mevazit, they don't appreciate. They're talking about tefillah. Tefillah is kirum. Kirum is berumah shel olam. Tefillah is something that stands at the highest pinnacle of the world, on the top of the world. It's of supreme importance. So Melech says, Reb Chaim, b'chol teva teva. Reb Chaim says, every word of davening, oilo lemokim gevoyim al gevoyer. It goes higher than the high. Mokoy makor ben mamish. See what Reb Chaim is saying. So don't think that tefillah like a secondary thing, it's like a substitute, but rather tefillah reaches the same place in Shemayim. It goes just as high, it soars all the way high. Reb Chaim says mokoy makor ben mamish. So whatever we would have hoped to achieve if we had the Beis HaMikdash with the carbon, but now that we have tefillah, tefillah, as a matter of fact, each and every word. Each and every word. It's not just, you know, the total package. You know, but no, every word, every individual word, called teva, teva, it goes, l'mokim, givoyim al givoyim, the uppermost high, the highest of the high, mokim akor b'mamish. Rav Chaim says, to show you how great and how far-reaching tefillah is, do you realize who he needed to compose tefillah? One would say to himself, why did we need, for example, as he shows, the chiloy l'chinom, was it, he says, for naught, that we have, like May of the Esrim, Kufchav Zekenim, 120 Zekenim. In other words, who is misakin the words of the tefillah and so on? Who composed it? It's the Anshe Knesset HaGdoilo. The Anshe Knesset HaGdoilo are the great chachomim, the great assembly, the great chachomim. The members, you had 120 members. You realize who these 120 members were? Not only they were all the Gedolei Hador, among them were prophets, some of them were Nevi'im. So why is it that nothing less than these great people to compose tefillah? Is it so hard to ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu Rufo'inu? Why do you need them to tell us? If I need Rufu Shalema, can I make it myself? I said, Rufo'inu, Rabbi Shum Shikmi Rufu. If I need Panosa, why did you have to have these great people, namely the 120 members, that they should go get together and decide the exact wording of the tefillah? After all, I know what I need, right? Let me compose my own tefillah and ask Kodesh Baruch Hu what I need straight out. Yet we say no. We have a standard tefillah. We have a standard tefillah that was composed by 120 people, the Anshe Knesset HaGdoilo. You know why? Because every word that they wrote in is like a push button, is like remote control that goes all the way to Shemayim and hits that perfect spot that our own tefillahs would not be able to manage that. That is what Reb Chaim points out. Let's take a look further. Is it for naught that we have 120 zekeinim? Umehem kam in neviim yosduah. We have, and among the 120, there are many neviim that were miyasei tefillah. Reb Chaim says, why do you have to have Nevi'im? You have to have prophets. You have to have prophets to tell you what you need. People of our caliber are also capable of, right, of making requests to Hashem. So why do we need anybody to compose tefillah? It is not something that is prohibitive. Right? To be able to compose the bakash is what we need. And the refuah for our machlas. Right? We have people who have, by the way, a nice vocabulary, a nice Hebrew vocabulary. So we could have composed our own tefillahs. Each one, you know, I have it. Why did we need the greatest of the great? Why do we need the Gedoyla Hador, 120, the Anshe Knesset HaGdoyla, Mehem Nevi'im? Why did we need that? V'lomet Tzarech LeNevi'im. You know why? Achemo. Because you realize that tefillah is not stum, he says, it's a mixture of words, or it's a collection of words. Tefillah is not a collection of words, merely. Achemo kivnuba v'ziknua. When they wrote those words, they put in all tremendous kavonis. Kavonis of such a high, of such a high caliber that only they, according to the Madrega, were able, right, were able first of all even to know these kavonis, and then to put it into words. They had kavana when they composed the tefillahs, the tiknua, and they were miyasid. They instituted the tefillah al oifim. You know how they composed the tefillah? Al oifim shtiyah hakol kolubah. That everything is in it. In other words, we, with our own words, would never find enough words to say everything that needs to be said. Who knows? The Anshe Knesset HaGdoyla, in their words, in the Shemoneh Esrei, the Tefillah, they put in everything that needs to be said. Except, every Yidam is according to his own Havonah. In other words, people who are higher Madrega, they see more in the same words. Two people can say the same words of Tefillah, and yet one person has more Kavonah, has more understanding, and then somebody has less. But nevertheless, you say the same words, and those words take, right, take a major effect, take immeasurable effect, as he points out. Because we have no idea, there's no way that we can understand the plummet, the depth of the kavanas that were put into those words. We'll never be able to reach, right, the ultimate understanding of those words. They knew it, but that's incorporated. It's programmed there. You say the words according to the best of your ability, according to the best of your knowledge, and those words automatically, being that they were composed and programmed by the Anshe Knesset HaGdoyla, they'll go way, all the way high. Uklolo Yishodover. And the klal is, the principle is, says Reb Chaim, in Ruach Chaim, Shebiyoyim Shenisakno, from the moment that they instituted the tefillahs, they composed the tefillahs, Lohoye Ba'oilom, based tefillahs, Sheyasu Roshim Shove Lamailo, Vishiyalu Lamadregachas. Reb Chaim says it's something, an incredible thing, that every day that we daven, never two tefillahs alike make equal impression Shemayim. Which means to say, is even though we're saying the same words, every day we're saying the same words, but the fact is, the world, right, the world has different needs each and every day. Every day, or sometimes every moment, brings its own issues, brings its own needs. By saying these tefillahs, the same words, so whatever needs to be accomplished by these words accomplish what for the needs of today. Tomorrow has different needs, tomorrow has different problems. If not here, someplace else in the world, wherever it should be. So the Mele comes out that the koyach of the tefillah, the Anshe Knesset HaGdoyla, when the sakim, right? No 2 days are alike, right, in the roshim that it makes in Shemayim. The tefillah makes in Shemayim that roshim that's needed for that day. So even though tomorrow you think, you say, hey, I'm just saying the same words as yesterday. You may be saying the same words as yesterday, but the roshim of that tefillah takes care of the problem of today. That's what he says again. Look at the words again. Klolo Shildover, Shemiyoyim Shenisakno, from the time that the tefillah were instituted, Lohoye Ba'oilon, based tefillahs, there never was in the world, two tefillahs, Shiyasu Roshim Shove L'mailo. That should make the exact same Roshim. Every day, right, every day there's a different, every tefillah makes a different Roshim, right, and has a different Madrege. Ki Mishunu Bozeh Tefillahs Hayoyim, Mitfilas Esmul Kiyavoyer. It's different. The tefillah of today is different. V'hakol tovu b'tei v'seilu. And everything in the same words. These words. So these words take care of all the issues. Now, which person is able, right? Which person is able to compose a tefillah, right? He composed a tefillah according to his limited knowledge. And the tefillah is basically all that. It's only what it is. What he wrote down on paper. But the answer is Gdoiler. What they wrote on the paper, that's like, there's like a push button. It's like programmed. It's like X and Y, right? X can represent who knows what. Y can represent. These words represent so much more, which is behind these words. And that's the Koyach of the answer is Gdoiler, that put in so many tremendous power in each word of Tefillah. Tremendous power in each word of Tefillah. It's there. It's programmed. For Lakach, that's why he needed Nevuah. Who is able to know that? Who is able to compose a tefillah? I'll give you a word, and this word is millions of things. Millions of things are included in that word. That's what you need, a nevuah prophecy. And he says, and anybody, I'm talking in his time, and certainly in our time, he says, all the, when we learn tefillah today, right, and we are able to reveal some of the hidden meaning, as much as we think we have arrived of understanding, it does not amount even to a fraction of what the true, right, ultimate, what it encompasses. Which means is, as much as we would try, as much as we understand tefillah, we will never again be able to reach the full, all-encompassing kavanas that's behind the tefillah. As a matter of fact, it's even less. He said, our kavanas don't amount even a minuscule fraction to the kavanas of the smallest sage. The kavana that the smallest chacham of the 120 had, our kavana today, on the highest level of kavana that we may muster today, B'chaim is saying in his time, certainly in our time, so the highest level of any type of kavana that we may reach today does not amount even to the smallest minuscule fraction. It's less than a tipim and ayam. A tipim and ayam, you know, what is it, a billionth, a tipim in relation to the yam, a fraction, what is it? So our kavanas compared to the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, what they put in, will not amount, he says, even less than the relationship as a drop, right, in a great ocean, in a sea. Look at the words he says. He said, V'chol ha-kavanas v'asoydis, shenizgalo al-til ad ha-yoyim. Anything that we think that we have revealed regarding tefillah today, einom ketipe miyam ha-godol, does not amount even like, it's less than a drop in relation to the ocean. It's less than a drop. Neged hakavona shehisig hakotn, right? Compared to the depth of the kavona that the smaller sage, mikufchov zakenim, from the 120 zakenim. And he says even more than that. And even the greatest sage also is only able to understand as much as his seichel. He's also a human being. He only has a limitation. He always has a limitation. So Magamagodos Shabam Lohisik also is only able to be masik, rakifi erkoi kontis madrege, fishoizish mosoi. Aval be'emes, the truth is, he givoya tefillah is yoisim mibinas kol odom. The true depth of tefillah is beyond human comprehension. Tefillah, that's what tefillah is. And so now, what happens when we daven? You know what happens? We connect Shemayim v'Oris. Our tefillah, we start down here. That's where we are. We daven down here. Our tefillah is supposed to go up all the Shemayim. And he says it goes givoya mal givoya. It goes so high, it reaches the place where actual carbon would have reached. It means, says Reb Chaim, what happens is we connect, we bind the upper world and the lower world together. The tefillah that a yid davens, it binds together the upper world and the lower world. He says, kamaya carbon, just like a carbon. And he says, and this will not change. Because then one tefillah certainly won't need. The tefillah, he says, the tefillah to kab the shofar God l'cheruseinu. We ask Kol Baruch Hu blow the shofar of Bias Hamashiach. We're going to have the grill already. So certainly that we're not going to have, and so on and so on. So therefore, Al Kaponim says Reb Chaim. So he says v'lezeh omru, and so Melas. So this is what the Mishnah says. Al Gimel Dvarim ha'olam oymed. Ha'olam oymed means that Ratzaloyma kosher oylam elyon ba'olam atachtoim. Three things for Olam Oymed means that this world is able to connect, right? This world is able to connect together with the upper world. And that is through Torah. Now the way it works is like this. Torah brings down all this hashpois, all the positive benefits from Shemayim. So Torah basically brings down al Yodoy Shefel Milmalo. And avoda is shemala nachas ruach, and we give HaKadosh Baruch Hu nachas ruach mitachten le'elyon. It works backwards and forwards. Ba'achshava de tefillah, we don't have the korbanos, so the avoda is tefillah. So Torah, that brings down the hashpoah from Shemaim down to us, and avoda is we give HaKadosh Baruch Hu nachas ruach, and basically, so we have the two worlds are connected, and that is in a nutshell what Reb Chaim says, that is tefillah. So tefillah, he says, that Reb Chaim reaches actually the same height as a korban does, and certainly the depth of the kavonis of what are behind the words, it's not shaykh, it's beyond human comprehension. We just have to say the words, and they are programmed to accomplish what they have to accomplish. So you realize this is Ruach Chaim, and this is this area of Chaim devoted to tefillah here. You notice it's mentioned here in the brackets, it said just a line or two above, it says, Ayin Nefesh HaChaim Sharbeis Perek Yud Gimel. So we're going to take away the sheet and see Ruach Chaim again talks about the union of tefillah. So look at the sheet. I look here at the second item. Look at the second item. The sheet Nefesh HaChaim. This is on the Nefesh HaChaim Sharbeis Perek Yud Gimel. Reb Chaim says the following. Voetza HaYeutza Al Zeh. Reb Chaim says in order. Look, with the limited kavanah that we have, what is the Eitzah that a person should be able to daven with Kavanah? Your level of Kavanah, whatever it is. What is the Eitzah? After all, there's a lot of distractions and so on. So Reb Chaim says as follows. The Eitzah that I can give you, this is now Nefesh HaChaim. We know that the B'Syosef, of course, the Rosh Shulchan Aruch, had a Magil, which means there was a Malach who came to teach him Torah. And the B'Syosef recorded the teaching that the Malach taught him, it's a sefer called Magid Mishorim. So Reb Chaim says, the Magid, he says, the Malach, the Magid, told the Beis Yosef, Reb Yosef Karo, he says, Bahazora Hashenis, it's in the second warning, in the beginning, Shebereish HaSefer Magid Mishorim. Zelu Shoinoi. Okay, here's the Lashon, this is, quote, this is what the Magid told the Beis Yosef. Listen what he said to him. Lizoe Melachshoi Bishas Atfile Bishu Machshove. The Magid told the Beis Yosef, be careful that when you daven, don't think about anything else. This is what the Magid told the Beis Yosef. Make sure that when you daven, make sure that you don't think of anything else. Afilu shel Torah mitzvahs. Somebody says to himself, okay, you know, maybe I should be thinking about business. Maybe I should think about a vacation. But maybe I should think about the Gemara, maybe it's the Tosfos that I'm learning. No. When you're davening, there's no Torah, there's no mitzvah, there's nothing. When you're davening, it's only davening. That's what the Magid told the Beis Yosef. To be careful, the Bishas Atfilah, not to think about any machshove, Atfilah shel Torah mitzvahs. Ki'im betevois hatfilah asimum. Only the words themselves. Just concentrate on the words. That's it. Then he goes further. Says, this is the words of the Magid. So now Reb Chaim says, Doik bidvaros. He says, take emphasis, pay attention to the words of the Magid. Shloyoma, he didn't ask from you something deep. Think about the kavona. Like, think about deep kavonas about the words. Say, just think about the saying the words. Shloyoma lechavim bekavona satevas. Ki be'emes, he said, because the truth is, the kavona, as he said in Ruach Chaim, who is able to plummet the real depth of the kavona, of the real sadis, the hidden secrets behind the words? We don't know that. We don't have the ability, we don't have the knowledge and the wherewithal to be able to really know the true kavonis. The little that we know is what the Arizal was megala us. He calls that the little. The little that we know, little that we know about kavonis atfilah, he says, ki gam mashin is galalonu kitsas. Because even that which was revealed to us, Kavanas Atfilah, a little bit of Kavanas Atfilah, Rabbi Seinu HaRishoinim, Zechroinim Levroche, Kaddish El Yoinim, from the great Rebbes, Bad Akron until the last one, Harav HaKodosh, Ishalikim Noir HaRizal, which we know that the Arizal did tremendous, he says, did tremendous contribution. Asher Hifli Higdalasas Kavanas Afloim, the Arizal gave us, he says, incredible Kavanas. All the Kavanas Arizal is not a drop in the ocean to the true depth of Kavanas in each word in Tefillah. He's telling you, with all the Arizal, with all the teaching of the Kavanas Arizal, who are we even to understand Kavanas Arizal? Truly. But assuming that we have the knowledge, right, of all the teachings of the Arizal, and he says Kavonis Nifloim. But all those great Kavonis of the Arizal, Einon Be'erech Afketipim Minayam Klau, they don't even amount, even like a drop in the ocean, Neged Pnimius Oyme Kavonis Anshe Knesset HaGdoyle Mesak Netzile. The Kavonis of the Anshe Knesset HaGdoyle, their Kavonis, nothing can reach their Kavonis, even a tip of Minayam, like a drop in the ocean, as he says. There were May of Esim Zekanim Mehem Kamanavim. Lazoi said, that's the case, says Reb Chaim. Mi Yashar Omad Besoid Hashem. Who is the person who says that I know the secrets? Eimek Kavon Osoi Yisborach Shemoi. Who says, Eze Derech Oer Yishka Noira? Where am I going to find the true light? Shekol Teva Protis Mem. We can't. We don't know. He says, we are too inept. We are too deficient. So what is expected of us when we daven? So what is expected with our limited? With our limited ability? Elo, ho ikar b'avoydis ha'tfila. You know what the ikar is? Not asking a lot, he says. Elo ikar b'avoydis ha'tfila, she'be'eish she'odah moysi mipiv kol teva. Matfila, that when you mention, right, when you say a word, right, come out of your mouth, yitzayi lo'y od b'machshavtoi, your mind should see the letter. You should see the letters before you. Just see the letter before you. Yitzayi lo'y od b'machshavtoi oysa ha'teva. In your mind, you should see the word, b'oysa yiseo, he says, kutsuroso. So if you concentrate, if you have a sitter, that's one of the reasons why it is always better, this far I'm saying, any sefer about chizuk ha'tefillah, people know Shemoy Nesra by heart mostly. But for true kavona, is to look into a sitter. Why? Because you don't have a sitter in front of you. There's really not. You have your mind, which is anything can come into your mind. But if you have a sitter, then you're focusing. Reb Chaim says to focus. To see the word, your machshava. The way to have it in your machshava, to have the tzur of the yosei machshava, you see it in front of you. That's the best way. Yeah, the Goyim gave a remez to that, the Megillah, by the way. Lehofer machshavto yoro im ha-sefer, says in the Megillah. Right? Lehofer, to destroy the evil machshava. The Goyim said, Lehofer machshavto yoro, you know how a person is able to destroy, right, foreign machshava im ha-sefer, if you have a sitter in front of you. If you have a sefer, if you have a sitter in front of you, that's a way to at least to be able to be mitzamtzem, able to focus on the words of davening. If you don't have a sitter in front of you, then anything, just you don't have anything in front of you. But if you have anything in mind, your mind is exposed to anything. A mind is a mind. There's no lock on your mind, right, to prevent things from coming into your mind. But at least if you have a sitter, you're able to look and focus on the words. Hopefully that will help. But that's what Reb Chaim says. And Reb Chaim says, the yizgul in the floor. He says, except the gavaldik yizgul, he says. Look at that. Not only that, Bodu Kemenuse had been tested, he says. Scientific study, he says. Bodu Kemenuse. It's the Arbit. It works. Lemargila Matsavon Bezet. People, of course, who are regular in that. This works. Levatil Ulahesem Olo Bezet. He says, Kol Machshovis, right? Hevelin. The Heveligi Machshovis. Naushe Machshovis. Hatoidois. That push it, right? That burden your mind. And so on and so forth. So this is one akuda. The second akuda I want you to show over here further. Look at by the way, you can see the little paragraph just following. He says Bahagam. Now it's true that al pi aloche, you could daven in any language. You could daven in English, in any language you want. So Reb Chaim says Bahagam shaloche psukim bishas brachas yud gimel shetfila nemeres b'choloshin. You can daven in any language. So he says, you know what that means? Hayin letzeisi de mitzvah tefila. Yes, you can be yotze mitzvah tefila in any language. But the quality of tefila, he says, the quality of tefila will never match that which is a Loshon Kodesh. Aval ein oruch. But you cannot compare it. Lamisha mispala b'Loshon HaKodesh. Because you're using the actual words that the Anshe Knesset HaGdoyle have composed. Be'elu atfil teva is dafke. Dafke using these words that the Anshe Knesset HaGdoyle composed for us, which are Oimdim Brumei Shel Olam, which basically stand on top of the world, stand on the pinnacle of the world. Umedabek kol kerchoiso behem, and a person becomes fully connected to those words. So Loshon Kodesh certainly has a maila, and therefore you can be Yotze davening b'chol Loshon, but cannot match in any way the true quality and the koiches of what one can achieve with Loshon Kodesh. Fine. Having said that, so it's Kedai, the great Goyim himself, the Rebbe of Reb Chaim. Can imagine if anybody knew how to daven, it had to be the Goyim. However, you realize the Goyin had a Gevaldig in the Soyin. Why? Because the tzitzkes of the Goyin, as great as a tzaddik and ish kodesh and a chosid that the Goyin was, but the Goyin was a tremendous Goyin of Torah, which meant that the Goyin never was Masiyah Das. His mind always was into Torah. How does a person like the Goyin, when he goes to Davin, supposed to now block out the tremendous Goyiness of Torah? The fact that he's connected, his mind is always connected to Torah. One can imagine it was a challenge for him to daven. You could imagine. Because when he's davening, he could have machshavas zoris, doesn't have, you know, machshavas of taiva. What he has is machshavas of taiva coming to his mind. So it's very noticeable that Reb Chaim Volozhin himself wrote a hakdoma to the Pirush HaGra on the Safra de Tzmiusa, which is of course a Kabbalah sefer, and the Goyin has a Pirush. And the Hagdoma, and there's a Hagdoma there to the Pirush of the Goyin, the Hagdoma that Reb Chaim Volozhin wrote. This particular piece is taken out, as you see here, from a Sefer Yiras Chaim, which was written by Reb Shmuel Elio Weintraub, which, you know, very Odom Godel Noid, who was Nifter not that very long ago. There's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and also had a big Shaykhus to Kabbalah. He's an American born fellow. Later was Oilet Etz Yisrael. Had a lot of Talmidim, very, very popular, Reb Shmuel Elio Weintraub. Any case, but here is the quote from Reb Chaim. Let's take a look here. We had here in Ruach Chaim, Perek Yud Gimel, we had here, Lizoya, the Magid said, Lizoya, be careful. The Magid told the Bais Yosef, Malach Shu Bishas Atfila, be careful from thinking during davening, Bishu Machshove, Afila Shal Torah Mitzvahs. Be careful that do not allow your mind, right, to allow Machshove, even Torah. You don't think about Torah during davening either. Not even Torah. Okay. Course of our going Reb Chaim Zal. Reb Chaim Volozhin writes, Bahagdomas in the Agdoma, Pirush HaGra, Lesafra de Tzniusa, Vezel Shoina. And Reb Chaim Volozhin says, it's an incredible little piece here. And by the way, Reb Elio Aplan also once repeated it when he's talking about Tfila. It's written in Sefer Levi Leo. Reb Elio Aplan also repeated it. Pamachas, says Reb Chaim, Midedabra imoi binyan atfila. Once when I was talking with my Rebbe, the Goyin, I was talking about Tfila. Omali Pamachas. Omali, so he said, Pamachas Hereuni Min HaShemayim. Listen to this, it's incredible, it's a little maise. Once they showed me, says the Goyim, they showed me Min HaShemayim Iyin HaTfila. They showed me in the Shemayim how great Tfilah is. What happened? The Goyim is saying, I was taught a lesson. The Goyim said, they showed me once Min HaShemayim the greatness of Tfilah. What happened? So the Goyim says, there was a tkufa, I mean, the Goyim knew everything literally, backwards and forwards. The Goyim. Zohar HaKodesh, Nigla, Nisr, there was nothing that he didn't know. But there was a particular passage in the Zohar HaKodesh that the Goyim had trouble, Lishitos, according to his, that he felt that he needed a beer. He needed an explanation of a particular Zohar HaKodesh that dealt with Rish Chodesh. And the Goyim was working on that Zohar HaKodesh many, many weeks to try to find the pshat, and he didn't feel that he had the pshat. Maisa Shoya, again. He says, Kiyogati Yigiyas Rabois, I once toiled very, very hard. I once toiled very, very hard. Al Havonas Maimer Echod Bezoir HaKodesh. There was a certain Maimer Bezoir HaKodesh. Binyonid Rish Chodesh. Yud Beis Shavu in 12 weeks. That means the Goyin in a half an hour probably could learn Shas. 12 weeks he worked to try to understand the Zohar HaKodesh. V'loi biyodi lefarshe lamitoi. And I was not masliach. I was not masliach to find the true pshat in the Zohar HaKodesh. What happened? V'hine biyoyim Rish Chodesh Echot. On one particular day of Rish Chodesh, be'omdi leispalel tfilis v'amida de shachris. I was davening Shemoin Esrei of Shachris on Rish Chodesh. Berega Echod, for one moment, he says, during davening, Nofel b'machshavti, all of a sudden, I'm working 12 weeks to find a pshat in the Zohar HaKodesh. During davening on Rish Chodesh, came a pshat into my mind, ba'oysa amai, lefarshay al shivo ifanim. And I had 7 perushim. Can you imagine what a simcha was to the Goyim, you can think? In davening, it happened in davening. Shemayim gave him that maton in davening. He's working on it for 12 weeks. He couldn't find the pshat. Shemayim decided they're going to give him the pshat, not one pshat, 7 pshatim. 7 perushim in davening. So the Goyim says, what am I supposed to do? It came into my mind, right? What am I supposed to do? Vamati lu efshelishes mat. So he thought, you know what? In order that he should retain it, I'll be mesadrit. 2 seconds. I'll be mesadrit the 7 perushim. So in order that when I finish my nesrei, I'll be able to write it down or something. So vamati, I said, Nishkefelech, lu efshe, maybe it's possible, lishishmat, you know, I'll stop a little bit in my davening, I'll stop, in the middle of davening, I'll stop. Rak only enough, I'll stop only for just enough, rak lesadron b'machshove, v'chigam zeh choshev hefsik, is that also a hefsik? I'll stop just there a little, a short while, just a few seconds maybe, to be mesadron, these perushim. This gavaldi gematon, I'm working on it for 12 weeks. All of a sudden it comes into my mind. So I'll stop where I am in the middle of davening. I'll stop for a moment or two to be mesadrit the perushim. Omar said the goyim be'emes kenosisi shahisi k'may reva minut. Only a quarter of a minute. Only a quarter of a minute. He stopped in the middle of davening, quarter of a minute to think about these pshutim. Reva minut, a quarter of a minute. So davening me'machshavti, I was mesadrit the perushim in my mind, and right away I continued davening. Vishum chazati tekev limud velosi. You know what happened? As soon as I stepped out of Shemin Esra, I forgot it all. I was have nothing. I was have nothing. Va'achar goyim ritu velosi. After when I finished Shemin Esra, his benamti al amare. So now he said, I started to write, to recollect what happened. I'm going to chazar, I'm going to review. I hoped, said the goyim, to review that which came into my mind. There's nothing in my hand. It was all forgotten. Says the goyim v'nistarti al zeh harbe. I had a lot of tsar. These gevaldige perushim that I worked on for 12 weeks, I had it and I lost it. It took me about a half an hour, he says, to Babel, just to forget about it. Just to remove that tsar, to banish that tsar from my mind. It took me half an hour, lasiach tsari medati, melikris halo. I couldn't go to halo. I finished my nesu, next step is halo. The tsar that I saw, I forgot it all. So half an hour took me push it, just to forget about it, to move forward. Couldn't move forward. To dav halo. Guess what happened? I dav a musaf and it comes back into my mind. In the middle of musaf. This time, I ignored it. Not like the first time during Shacharis, I stopped davening for a moment, right, to rejuggle it in my mind. I forgot it. It came back to me during Musaf. What am I doing now? Imagine the koich hamatzer, imagine the koich to hold back. The mind is tremendous strain, tremendous disoyin, to hold back, not even to think about it, to ignore it totally. V'loi nosati dati aleim leharibam klau. Ukesayim it's felosi. When I finished davening, it was all there ready for me. Stopped it because I did not think about it in the middle of davening. The goyim. Besayim it's felosi. Nimsuri says, Aruchim ushmurim lefonai kol ha'shiva perushim lamisosom. Mamish. In Gansen, truth as they were, the emezigit peirushim I had. Umisukim edvash, mamish, sweeter than honey, gevaldik, tremendous. Because Absham, and Reb Chaim Volozhin writes there. Reb Chaim is relating this. This is the incident that the Goyim told him. Reb Chaim Volozhin is writing this. This is what the Goyim told him. Because Absham, and Reb Chaim writes, Umizet tovin, goyil kedusha staharis machshavte bitfilet. Now, oh, by the way, not for everybody would this be such a gavali gavere. For the goyin, right? For the goyin, according to his great kedusha, his machshava was supposed to be so pure that for a moment, if he thought about Torah in the middle of davening, that was a gavali gavere. Because not everybody would be held so accountable. If not, if you're in the madrig of the goyin, from the that itself shows the greatness of the goyin that Shemayim was busy with him. On this issue, that shows how normally the gevaldige kavana, the pure machshava, asher gam zeh hoyenechshev esel lemachshava zora betfila. Even to think about a pshat in Zohar Kodesh, that's a machshava zora. Doesn't belong here. It's a foreign machshava. It's something totally out. And that's really what the Maggid really told the Beis Yosef. That you're davening, only think about the words. Do not even think about Torah and Mitzvahs, that in fact, that when you are davening. That is the godless. Just a little bit, we'll do a little bit here, just show you a little bit here. Just interesting few lines. And that is from the Chazon Ish. The Sefer called his Chaskus B'Tfilah Lashem. It's mentioned over there from the... There's two volumes, actually, that they printed many, many years ago. There's many, many letters that took basically a collection of letters of the Chazon Ish. So if you have here, it says here, number four on top, Ubekovitz Igrois. He says, in the collection of letters, in Chelik Beis, it happens to be Geres Kuflamet Beis, course of Morna Chazon Ish Zatzal, Zeloshoni. Few lines what the Chazon Ish wrote. He says, B'chol Pega, whenever, he says, I have an issue, I have some trouble. Whenever there is a pega, whenever I'm confronted with a problem, what do? Hareini murgel hachzik es amuna. The first thing that I do is to be mechazik myself in amuna b'Hashem. Why? Because nothing happens by chance. If it happened, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu willed it so. Kelei nasa dov reboilem b'mikre. Rak al pi hashgachoso yizbarach. So therefore, if I understand... Right, and I have a munah that it comes from Hashem. So therefore, the first thing I have to do is to appeal to Hashem, because it didn't happen by chance. So what do? V'areini misames b'tfilo lahavir esroya hagzera. This is the Chazon Ish writes in a letter to someone. What I do is I put extra pressure, I put extra koyach into davening to remove the bad gzera. What about ishtadlus? Well, you have to do ishtadlus, but I don't have too much faith in the ishtadlus, says the Chazon Ish, because I just have to do it to do it. But my faith is, he says in the tefillah, that whatever ishtadlus I do should be masliach, but it's in the koyach of the tefillah. Well, lefichach, therefore, being that what? That the ikar power is tefillah, hareini misyach is bikrirus lishtadlus. When it comes to ishtadlus, he says, my attitude is bikrir takalkite. I got my attitude, it's not a warm attitude to ishtadlus. Kalpi Haroi, first of all, he says, Eina ishtadlus barura. He says, many cases said ishtadlus is something, it doesn't bear much fruit anyway. But you have to do ishtadlus, it's good to have to do ishtadlus. But that's not where I rely on the ishtadlus. What I rely on, it says, is the koyach of tefillah, because, of course, there's no mikra in the world. And that is the ultimate koyach of to remove any gzeris that need to be removed. So, the remaining moments, Rabbi Sais, we'll mention the following. Talking about tefillah, but something which is related to tefillah, is the following. In Chicago, there is a Lakewood has a branch in Chicago. It's called the Chicago Community Kollel. I've had the privilege a number of times to say shurim there. They have every summer, not only in the summer, different times of the year, they have a Yarchi Kala. So they invite various speakers to come and speak there. I've been a number of times in Chicago over there. So one of the members of the Chicago Community Kollel, a person by the name of Reb Yitzchak Cohen. He comes there after 6 years studying in Lakewood itself, here in Lakewood proper. So he moved to Chicago, sort of, whatever. He's going to continue studying over there, learning over there in Chicago. Not so long ago, like 5 years ago, in 2011. So this Reb Yitzchak Cohen had a yahrzeit after his father. This is Mr. Cohen out of your side of his father. His father's name happened to be Reb Shloimeh Cohen. He's Reb Yitzchak Cohen. His father is Reb Shloimeh Cohen. Now, customarily, the minhag is, right, that the week that you're outside, usually you dav musaf the Shabbos before. That's the usual minhag. And mafter and musaf, dav musaf the Shabbos before. So, this Reb Yitzchak, the Shabbos before the Yahrzeit, right? Reb Yitzchak had Yahrzeit. This Kollel young man, the Shabbos before the Yahrzeit. So he goes over to the Gabbai, and he says, he asks him if he could be the Batfila for Musaf. If you go to the Gabbai, you tell him, listen, I have Yahrzeit in the coming week. I'd like to daven Musaf for the Yom. And so goes to ask the Gabbai. The Maaseh created a dilemma for the Gabbai. Why? Because the community had an old, respected member. This Reb Yitzchak was like a newcomer, and he's a young man also. The community of Chicago had a old, highly respected member. His name was Mr. Crystal. That was his name. Mr. Crystal was his name. And this Mr. Crystal, Lemaisa, used to be the Baal Shachris on Yom Neroyim. And he had Yahrzeit on Shabbos itself. That Shabbos itself. So therefore, if he has Yahrzeit Shabbos itself, so he'd like to daven Musaf. Maybe Shachris also. Of course. He has Yahrzeit Shabbos itself. So here you have this Reb Yitzchak, who has Yahrzeit in the middle of the week. He went over to the Gabbai, you know, allow me to daven Musaf. And the Gabbai says, but there's this Mr. Crystal, you know, he's a highly respected, and he has Rosh Shabbos itself, and probably, he would like to, not probably, he would like to daven Musaf. They went over to the Rav. Rabbi, I know the Rosh Hakoil over there. Rabbi Dov Zucker happens to be over there. It's interesting that he said that. I'm not sure if I would have said that. But the Rosh Hakoil said, that, you know what? The truth is, Api Aloche, he says that Pinchas, Mr. Crystal actually, his name was Pinchas Crystal, that Mr. Crystal has Yosef Rebiyam, he has the Din Kadima. He has the preference. However, being that Rabbi Yitzchak is a Talmid Chacham who learns day and night, so maybe ask Rishus from Rabbi Pinchas maybe to forgo and allow Rabbi Yitzchak to daven. Ask him. He can say yes or no. So kach have it. So this Rabbi Yitzchak goes over and says, I have yotz in the middle of the week. And he asks Mr. Crystal, he says, can I daven? Can I daven? And Lamaisi said right away, yes. And Mr. Crystal said yes. He was Mavater. Even though it's his Shabbos, he has yotz in Boi B'yoyim. He was Mavater. And he didn't expect him to be mavater. He thanked the mamish profusely, and Mr. Crystal said, no, this is exactly what my father would have done, this is what he wanted, he loved Talmid Chachomim, and Mamela, you spend your entire day, he says, learning, he would have wanted me to give preference to you. My father would have wanted that. But that's what Mr. Crystal said. So Yitzchak, the young man, the coil man, thinks for a moment, says, interesting, he says, I think that my father would have done the same thing. He says, why? And I'll tell you a story about my father. And he said the following. My father, Rabbi Yitzchak's father was a Shloimeh. My father used to daven in Brooklyn. Shul's name is Taras Chaim. It's a Rabbi Weinfeld over there. Maybe you know me. You don't know. Anyway, so my father used to daven in a shul in Brooklyn. However, he never davened for the Yomit. Why? Because he was a slow davener. People were upset when the Baltfila daven slowly. So he didn't want to push it. He didn't want to burden them. So he would not daven for the Yomit. But when he had Yotzeit, and he had to daven the Yomit, we davened the second minyan where the pace was more measured. Second minyan, people allow themselves to daven slower because they're not in a rush to go to work. Second minyan. It was the third day of Chalamoid Pesach. Rabbi Yitzchak is telling the story about his father. It was the third day of Chalamoid Pesach. My father had Yotzeit, and the davening took longer because of Halu, Chalamoid Pesach. And the people didn't mind the slow pace. And before Kriyas HaTorah, my father whispered to the Gabbai, I'm a Kohen. To the Gabbai, I'm a Kohen. This is a Kohen, Shlomo Kohen. And two things, he's a Kohen and he has your side. He has your side. And he's a Kohen. And the Gabbai's face turns white. So Rabbi Yitzchak said, my father asked, he says, is there anything wrong? So he says, I did not know you were a Kohen, apparently, whatever the reason, he says. And we have in Shul a very old frail man. He says, we have a very old frail man who has Parkinson's disease. And says, he is our only Kohen, usually, who regularly attends this minion, this particular minion. This particular minion he regularly attends. He's so incapacitated, it takes him a full 6 minutes to walk from the seat to the bima, literally. It takes him a full 6 minutes. Being that, says the Gabbai, I didn't know that you wanted Kohen. We told him already, and he started walking already. The frail old man started walking. He's not a yotzei, he's not a chiv. But he started walking already. It takes him usually 6 minutes, he says. And Mamela, he says, I didn't know you were crying. And I feel very bad to have to tell him, you know, that, you know, that he should go back to his seat, that we have a crying a chiv. By the way, this old man, it would take him a half an hour to walk the 2.5 blocks from his home to the shul, just like that. So he said, feel very bad. So the Gabbai continued, he said, so my father says, Rabbi Yitzchak, when he heard that, of course he says, let him come up, I give up my aliyah. Even though I'm a chiv, I give up my aliyah to the old man. Rabbi Yitzchak finishes the story, he says, could it be that the old man, the story is related to you, Mr. Crystal? Because you know what? I believe his family name was Crystal. And sure enough, it was his father. Mr. Crystal's father adopted Rabbi Weinfeld Shul. And he says the following, he says, my father lived in Flatbush, and he davened the same shul. That was him. So Rabbi Yitzchak says, so look what happened. My father gave his aliyah to your father, and years later, you would pay the favor by letting me daven your musaf. So this is it. One thing goes out to Sajgok HaPratis. You do a favor, many, many years later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the cheshvan that comes back to you. You never lose out by doing something which is kind and being mavater. All right, Rabbi Yitzchak.